Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. So thank you for joining us this week. Now, as you know, change is kind of hard, right? We all have some type of change happening in our life. So in order to help you navigate that change, whatever that means to you, I have created a communication style assessment. And of course, I offer it free to all of my listeners, really to everybody. So if you go to my website, it's whitmanassoc.com/CSA. That's the communication style assessment. Take it. You get a little report that tells you your superpowers, right? Your communication superpowers. It also gives you a report of your lowest style type, which is really a blind spot. And my job, I believe, on this road to change is to help you identify those blind spots so that you can navigate change just with a little bit more ease. And we can all use a little bit more ease in our life, especially lately. So please go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA, free resource for you. And I really do hope that you take advantage of that. If you are loving the show, which I do hope you are, please subscribe. And if you rate and review, I do appreciate that as well. And I do read the reviews and I get very excited when I read the reviews. So share that love, share the show with your peeps, and let's create a wonderful change in the world that we hope that we can all be part of. I want to start, as usual, with my motivational quote, which is by Andrew Bernstein. And Andrew says, "Remember that stress doesn't come from what's going on in your life. It comes from your thoughts about what's going on in your life." So thoughts become a reality. Remember that. Now, how would you like to reduce daily stress and worry and find more hope, success, and maybe some presence? Today, my guest, she's amazing, Allison Carman, my new friend on the East Coast, and I were going to discuss how, by embracing the mindset of maybe, and we're going to talk about a bunch of things, but that's one of them. Hope, less stress, and success are all possible. So are you ready to open your minds and hear some, hopefully, some new ideas, tips, and strategies that you may change your life as soon as today? Now, Allison is a business consultant, a business and life coach, and the author of her new book coming out in July of 2021, A Year Without a Man, a 12-point guide to inspire and empower women. This self-help book focuses on how people can reduce their daily stress and worry and find more hope, success, and presence by embracing the mindset of maybe. That is the first chapter in this book. Currently, Allison serves as a part-time CFO of the Motherhood Center in New York City, a multi-million dollar revenue all-women company providing care to women who are suffering with postpartum depression. Allison has a BA in accounting, a JD in law, and a master's of law in taxation. She's freaking brilliant. Allison is also a certified health coach, a life and business coach, consultant, as well as a Reiki master and energy healer. My kind of dame here. Allison also has a podcast, 10 Minutes to Less Suffering. So please help me welcome my amazing new friend, Allison, to the show. Thank you so much for being on, Allison.
Oh, Connie, thank you so much for having me. I'm really thrilled to be here and so thrilled to meet you. You're my kind of gal, too.
Yes. So. And it was funny, as I was writing the intro and I, you know, you put the bio in, sometimes I'm able to, you know, shrink the bio down, but I was like, no, people need to know how brilliant she is. She has all these wonderful degrees. She gives back, right? Being a part-time CFO to women in need. Like, who, it just doesn't get any better than this. And then with the Reiki master at the end, I'm like, yeah, man, we're business, but you know, we're like, woohoo on the other side. So I couldn't eliminate anything. So thank you so much for indulging me in reading your full bio. Yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm thrilled.
Yeah. So first question, and you know, we're going to talk about the book, but I want people to get the essence of who you are also, and then we could certainly spin the book and why they should buy the book as well as a resource. But how does a fear of uncertainty affect women in business? And really, it translates into our personal lives as well. And what can we do as women about this kind of that fear of the unknown, right? That's really where it stems from.
Yeah, I mean, the most interesting thing is that in my experience, men and women fear uncertainty the same amount. Like, I don't go into a business situation and see it's predominantly, you know, one gender over the other. But what's interesting about it is because the path for women is not as certain, because the opportunities for women are not the same, because we don't get paid the same. We don't have, you know, there are less women CEOs. It's hard to get equity for women when they're raising money. It's been such a hard road for women in so many ways that when we fear uncertainty, it affects us more. Because, you know, if you don't have the same kind of easy opening, any fear you have is going to take its toll. So what happens is that we worry a lot that we're not okay. I mean, sometimes, you know, after a period of time in life, you look around and you're like, if I was so great, why wouldn't I be the CEO? If I was so great, why don't I make as much money as the guy that sits next to me? If I'm so great, why do I not have more political clout or more? Why don't I have more money? So as women, after a while, it kind of wears on us. And then you start to believe, well, maybe I can't have the life that I want. So you look into the unknown and you're like, well, I don't see any opportunity. What can I do? So the fear comes from maybe your upbringing, but also from your life experience. And the biggest fear we have is that we're not okay. And the biggest fear we have is we can't have the life that we want. So this big fear of uncertainty stops many of us, especially women, from starting our own businesses, from doing things differently, from being in different types of relationships, from breaking out of the mold, right? The patriarchal mold that was created.
Absolutely.
So when we can master this relationship, because what we don't realize is that the unknown is where all the goodies are. If you want your life to change, it has to happen in the unknown. So for every woman, uncertainty is really your best friend, but you got to get there. And for me, I was addicted to certainty more than anybody. I wrote this huge story in my life. I was going to become this lawyer. I was going to marry this great guy. The balloons were going to come down and my life was going to be great. But uncertainty followed me everywhere and I couldn't handle it. And the first day I became a lawyer, I went to the job, I married the guy who ended up leaving me, which is in the book that I wrote. But I remember my office mate came in and said, Allison, did you hear they're going to fire half the first years? And I was a first year. And I remember that moment, I realized there's no certainty for me. There's no certainty for anyone. And I got sick and I didn't feel well. And then finally one day, at like a breaking point, I heard this beautiful story about a farmer. And he had a horse, and his horse ran away. And his neighbor came by and said, you have the worst luck. And the farmer said, maybe. But the next day, the horse came back with five mares. And the neighbor came by to the farmer and said, you have the best luck. And the farmer said, maybe. But the next day, the farmer's son is on the horse. He falls off and breaks his leg. And the neighbor comes by and says to the farmer, you have the worst luck. And the farmer says, maybe. But the next day, the army comes to take his son to war, but they can't take him because his leg is broken. And the neighbor comes by to the farmer and says, you have the best luck. And the farmer says, maybe. And in the Taoist tradition, this means things are neither good or bad. It just is. But for me, I actually felt a pop in my chest, because my whole life, if I didn't know I was doomed, if I didn't know it couldn't happen, if I didn't know things were going to be bad. And now I'm looking and I'm like, well, life has maybe. Maybe I'm still okay. Maybe just because no women have ever done this before, maybe I can still do it. Maybe I can earn as much. Maybe I can raise equity. And all of a sudden, this idea of maybe really took hold. And it actually changed my life. It's this little word, but it takes you from this place where you are so sure, based on the past, I'm telling you, I know it can't work out. Or based on anything, it takes you from, it unhooks you from that feeling that nothing can be different, and reminds you that, well, maybe it can be. And there you are. Boom. You are in the land of faith. Maybe it's a cognitive faith, and you're open and you are willing and you are ready. And when women can embrace this idea, in any way you can handle your life, your relationship with uncertainty will change your life. You will be more successful in this world. But maybe.
I love that story about the farmer, and I love the maybe, because the reality is the magic happens in the maybe. Is that possible? Maybe. And then you think, let me give it a shot, versus it's not possible. So we start to believe our own rhetoric. We start to believe what other people tell us. You could never, ever do that. And you think, yeah, I could never do that, right? We believe. Well, it's just like, don't they say that with athletes, like the Olympians, when they break through the different records, right? And they say, oh, no one could do a high jump higher than whatever. And in that Olympian, right, he goes out and he does it higher. Or the racer, right, the one who runs, right, the sprinter. And, oh, they do a minute, a 1 mile minute or whatever. Oh, they can't beat that. And they beat that. So we believe the limitations based on what's done before. That doesn't mean that limitation is going to be the same for me. Because, right, with the sprinter or the high jumper, maybe they're a little bit leaner. Maybe they're just just that let 1 inch where their spine bends that little bit more to put them a little bit higher over the, you don't know. So we put these limiting beliefs. That's what we're talking about. We love putting ourselves in the box and say, I'm safe now. And for me, the reality, Allison, and I think you kind of alluded to this, excuse me, is we're not safe. That's the most dangerous place to be, of putting yourself in the box, because we'll never live up to our full joy. We'll never live up to whatever we're supposed to be doing, right?
Absolutely. We could choose certainty, or we could choose our best life. And the certainty game is an illusion anyhow. And for women especially, this is the key. This is the key. If we are willing to be not know, if we're willing to do things differently, if we're willing to leave companies and start our own businesses or have a side business when we're home raising our kids, if we're able to shift that relationship with uncertainty at this point, especially in the United States, I think a huge change could happen. And again, like, I understand why a lot of women feel like they can't do it. But again, that's based on the past. It's based on something that's been sold to us. And we are unlimited when we allow ourselves to be. So that little word has enabled me to embrace the unknown and create a totally different life for myself again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
So it's easy and it's simple, but it's so deep and profound.
Yes, I love it. It's easy, it's simple, but it is so deeply profound. So well said. Do you find, and I think I'm seeing more of this as we become more enlightened, whatever word you want to use, women, as we start to empower ourselves and surround ourselves with other women like you, right? You and I, instant connection. And right. Sarah is the publicist. She's the one who introduced us. I'm friends with her. You're friends with her. Bam. Magic, right? All of a sudden. So when we put people like each other in the orbit, we start believing more is possible, because you believe it. I believe it. Like, yeah, hell yeah, man. Let's go do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's not. What? Why should I be held back? So I think that now, again, is that what I'm attracting? Or are you seeing women overall feel more empowered as these types of books that you've written? And as we become more empowered beings, are you seeing a shift or not? Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think there are two things that are happening. One is, I think that in our society, we're told we're equal. But equal is not equity, right? Equal is not, just because the law says you're equal doesn't mean you're not sitting at a company in a big, large boardroom and all the men aren't rolling their eyes at you. Do you know what I'm saying?
So absolutely.
I think that there has to be an awareness that as women that we have, like, what we do is we feel uncomfortable in the world. And instead of saying, hey, listen, the structure in the world is messed up, what we do is we take it upon ourselves. There's something wrong with me.
Yes.
There's something. If I was whole, if I was great, if I was wonderful, I would be more successful in the world. So I do think that women have to create this awareness that a lot of time that the world doesn't really welcome our power. Like, we're more powerful than we ever were. Like you're saying, like, for me to meet you and for you to be in New Jersey and you'd be doing all these wonderful things, it's so empowering for me. So yeah, there are, and like the Motherhood Center, it's an all women run company that saves women's lives every day. Does that make me feel great? Yes. But if I'm not aware of the fact that the outside world is sending me messages about who I am, what
yes.
I am, what I should say, if I'm not aware of that, I'm going to feel bad about myself.
Yes.
So I think it's inspiring to see other women achieve, but we also have to work on this inner landscape
yes.
that we have, because since we're all little, we've been sold a lot of things that aren't true. And then we see a lot of results that might not be fair or equal. And now we have this opportunity that if we could become whole within and relate to ourselves better, we're going to relate to the world better. So yes, it's so inspiring to see people achieve, but we need to see what's happening in the world, make ourselves whole, relate to ourselves better, and then go out there and relate to the world differently. I think this is an amazing time for women. It is so ripe.
I do. I agree. And it's funny because, you know, my dad came from Italy when he was 20. He's now 90, right? So 70 years ago, blow my mind. But I remember he had three daughters, right? My three sisters, my brother's the oldest, and then there's three girls. And I remember growing up, and he truly, he came to this country because he believed in the opportunity that was before him, right? He just had to work hard and figure it out, which he did, and he created a beautiful life. Well, fast forward, now he has three daughters. And I can remember as a little girl, him, you know, saying, you know, can I do this? And he would say, you could do anything you want to do. You could be a garbage man. You could be the president of the United States. Just be the best. You do it, you be the best. And you get educated. You perform, you work hard, you show up, all those things. So fast forward, I didn't realize that I was a woman. Now, let me make you laugh, right? So my first job out of college, I worked for a credit company, and I was really good in sales. I was really good at dealing with the dealerships, the car dealerships. And I grew the business with, I didn't even know I was selling. I was educating them on, because I'm a finance person, right? So I'm like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this. They started making more money. They would be calling me. I couldn't even go to the bathroom. Well, fast forward, grew the division, the whole thing. A sales position came up. And one of the dealers said, Connie, the sales position, you should apply. I sell? But what do you think you've been doing, right? No idea that I was selling. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to apply. Oh, I would love to deal with you guys more. Yeah, yeah, right. I go to the boss and he tells me, you're a girl. The company will never allow the, you know, dealerships that we're talking back in the 80s, guys, early 80s. Mm-hmm. He said, they'll never let me promote you because you're a girl. And it's so funny how, because my dad's like, you could be the president of the United States, right, Elson? And I was like, huh? And he said, I love you. I think you're great. I think you'd be the best candidate. The corporate won't let me promote you. And he said to me, he was a really good guy, Don. And he said, you need to find another job, my friend, because you're better than this. I was going for my MBA at night, and I thought, okay. So again, see, another male figure in this corporate realm echoed what my dad was saying, because I had never heard of such a thing at home. Now you're in this work environment. I was like, what? So it's just funny how you're fed, right? Whatever you're fed, and we digest. I didn't know that I shouldn't have been able to play in the sandbox with the men. Didn't even dawn on me. So
it worked for you. It really worked for you. And the fact that that moment ended up not being heartbreaking for you, because when women sometimes have that moment, that's the moment that says, well, I'm not going to be that ambitious. I can't make a difference. I'm just going to stay home. You had someone that actually, he broke your heart, but at the same time, you know, he said, go on, you're better than this. So you actually were very lucky. My first experience was at the large law firm as an attorney. And I didn't even know what was happening to me, that my fellow associates were getting promoted. They were getting better work. And like, after 2.5 years, I was like, I'm out. I quit. And I actually started my own law firm. So for me, it was very hard. I just wanted to be included. I wanted to be accepted. And for you, actually, no one said to me, oh, we're going to walk beside you. No woman partner did. No male partner did. So I was just watching the inequities. And it wasn't making me, I didn't think to myself, oh, the world's not fair. I thought to myself, why am I not more successful?
Absolutely. I'm not good enough. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not good enough. Like, and then you become less and less within, and you think you can't do it. And so you're lucky that you had a different experience.
And that's my point. It could have been, he could have said to me, they're never going to let me promote you. And then I would have gone home, right? I was still living at home at the time. And, you know, maybe my dad would have said, get out of there, man. Don't take that crap. And which is probably what he would have said. But here the boss actually respected me. So again, Don Hill was his name. I don't know if he's even alive today, but I am in gratitude for that moment. It could have been a pivotal different response, and instead he made me feel empowered. And I know everybody doesn't have that type of person right in their life to, you know, push them forward. So here's the bottom line, Allison. What we hear, we believe. I believed him. I need to get out of here. I totally, because I trusted him. I know he truly cared for me as a human. And he had a daughter. And he used to always say to me, I hope she turns out like you. You're brilliant. You're tenacious. You're loving. Like, he really loved. I think he didn't say it in a weird way or anything like that. It wasn't inappropriate. But he really thought, I hope my daughter aspires to be someone like you. But I don't know now, you know, all these years later, I really wish I did still know where he lives and everything, because I would love to go back and say that pivotal moment, right? I hope you paid it forward to me. I hope your daughter had the opportunity that, you know, as a businessman, that he had hoped for her. But everybody, we believe the crap we hear, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we have to be mindful of that. Another question for you, and you alluded to this before, men overall, and I think you had this in the book too, men overall are more emotional than women at work, right? Can you tell me a little bit more about that? I found that fascinating. I just found that whole thing fascinating. So talk to us about that, because men, I do have men that listen to the show, and they are emotional beings as well. So let's kind of put that in perspective.
Well, you know, what's so interesting is that women have this, I guess, reputation of being emotional. So many times, like, oh, she can't handle it. She's too emotional. She's too this. And I remember, I had my own business for a long time, dealt with a lot of men, and I get to the motherhood center, and I'm sitting at a meeting one day, and one of the women starts to cry hysterically at the meeting. And nobody budges. No, it's like someone said, could you please pass the napkin? I mean, literally and they just kept going, and the woman was crying, and she was giving us the information, and she was telling us what was happening, and no one cared. And, you know, I grew up in, a lot of my professional life in corporate America, that would have been like, oh my God, she can't handle it. You're like, corporate America makes it like crying sinks ships. But in truth, what sinks ships is when people aren't respectful to each other. So during my career, I've watched and I've had to deal with men throwing things at other men, men yelling at other men, at women and men, arrogance, anger. So I'm not saying men are always, more emotional. There are a lot of wonderful men that I've worked with, but I have seen more emotional reactions by men in the workplace than women. And, tears don't sink ships. It sinks ships when your behavior, you put it on someone else.
Yes.
And so in the end, I've seen more emotional outbursts by men than women. And I've been in business in the middle of New York City for 27 years. I've been, in this town a long time. And I just think it's so interesting. And even myself, I was on the board of my building. I live in a very big building in New York City, a lot of big players. I negotiated a $35 million contract. I did their finances. I was their attorney. I did everything. And one day someone says, oh, you can't share that with Allison. She's too emotional. I literally had to defend a guy who almost hit somebody. I mean, I've watched men jump up and down at meetings. I never cried. I never raised my voice. So it's almost like it's something I think people say to kind of push us out of the arena. And I say, there's nothing wrong with having emotions. There's nothing wrong with feeling stressed. And you should be able to say that at work. Where we go wrong is when I put my stress on you.
Yes.
Where we go wrong is when I put my anger on you. So I think that women get a bad rap. I think that they're fine. They're fine at work. And we should be able to be who we are. And that's what happens when we're so judged. We end up going to work and we become someone else. And the minute you're someone else, the minute you have to act cold, the minute you have to act like a robot, you will not be your most creative self. You will not be present. You will lose your power. And that's what happens today in society. Yeah. If women have to find a way to be able, and I know it's hard, believe me, I know it's hard, but when we could have that wholeness that you've shown in the world, or when we could just be okay with who we are and say, this is me and this is how I will come forward, that's when things start to shift. So I think corporate America has it wrong, honestly. And there's so much more tough.
It's amazing. And it's so funny because, half of my clients are women, half of my clients are men, and I love both. I love working with both because it's, I learned so much from the men, but I learned so much from the women, right? That different men are from Mars, women are from Venus. So I'm fascinated because I'm fascinated with communication skills that when men, and through my career, they must have looked at me like, who is this chick? But I think because I was always just the real deal, right? What you see is what you get. There's no pretense about me, right? If I think it, I'm going to ask it or I'm going to say it. But I think that I think a lot of times they were, they got chuckled out of me because men would say something in a meeting and the women would sit quietly and I would say, I never thought of that perspective. Why did you see that perspective? That's fascinating. And they would giggle. And sometimes it was because they were coming from a male perspective and I'm a female. I can't see their perspective, not good or bad, right or wrong. It is, right? So I think that because I was verbal and I would ask those questions that they respected me because it was never, you're wrong because I didn't see it that way. I came from a place of curiosity. So I'd be like, wait a minute. I never even thought of that. That's brilliant. Why did you, where did that come from? And then they would giggle and they'd say, well, blah, blah, blah. And I go, oh, I never had that experience. Or, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, you're a guy. I'm a girl. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So I think because there was never a pretense about me or I didn't shy away, but came from this place of curiosity, I think it demanded respect without me. And I think, Allison, here's the other funny thing. I didn't know what I was doing. It was just how I'm wired. So it's very fascinating to me Yeah, when we talk about these things, like your situation, how unconscionable the way you were treated. But here's the other thing. You wouldn't be who you are today. You wouldn't be doing what you'd be doing. You wouldn't be writing the books that you're doing. You wouldn't have been the inspiration for people to move their needle and change and whatever it is if you hadn't gone through all that. So are there accidents, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, honestly, the reason why I wrote the book, quite honestly, is that I was really not even thinking about men and women. I was just thinking about uncertainty. I was just thinking about human suffering.
Yes,
and
yes.
30th 2018, my husband, from that we were married 27 years, he comes home and says, I'm leaving you, I want to have sex with other women. And that if someone would have said that to me, you would have had to tell me the sun wasn't going to rise in the morning. That's how crazy that was for me. And within a 2-week period, my husband told me he was leaving me. My biggest male client that I had for 25 years terminated our business relationship.
Holy smokes.
And the Motherhood Center, I'm not kidding, within a 2-week period, invited me to come in to be their part-time CFO of an all-women company. I moved off a male board. I moved on a female board. I literally, within a 2-week period, had no more men in my life. So to me, that's where the awakening came from. Before he left me, I thought I was an empowered woman, but you know, honestly, I was compromising. I was hiding. I was a smart woman saying, how can I be successful in the world in front of me? Where do I have to bend? What do I have to do? I really wasn't my fully empowered self because I wasn't truly me. I was just saying, how can I get along here and make it work? Mm-hmm. And when all the men were gone, for me, it allowed me to see me. It allowed me to see the places I hid, how uncertainty frightened me, acceptance. It allowed me to see those moments where I don't speak the truth, when I shy away, when I want to please you, when I want you to like me. And it was just such an awakening that it allowed me to go back into my business experience for 27 years and really look at the places where the cracks are. And that's what the book, A Year Without Men, is about. It's about this journey that I hope women will take with me, not about getting rid of men. It's not an anti-male book. It's literally, here we are and look how we feel about ourselves. And it really gives exercises and tells stories. And it really, I think, tells the story for women about how we could relate to ourselves the way you relate to yourself. Like, how can we look at ourselves and transcend all these things we were told and come out into the world fully whole? And that's what the year did for me. It was painful. It was awful.
Sure.
But it was also enlightening to say, okay, this is where I hid. This is where I compromised. This is where the fear of the unknown got me. I'm in a much better place in my life. I would have never chose the experience, you know, but my hope writing the book was, hey, it's okay. You're okay. And there's a world out there maybe that didn't treat you perfectly, but if you start treating yourself better, you have a really great opportunity to go out, do it again, start your own business, be successful, find a relationship and do whatever you want to do. And I think it's so incredible that my first interview for the book is with you, somebody who has stayed empowered, and look what you've done. So you didn't buy the story.
With that said, probably at times, but and you know, my husband laughs because I remember, you know, till I opened my own business, I've been in business 20 years, but prior to that, it was every 4 years I'd be like, I'm done, on to the next thing, because something happened. I was held back, whatever it was. And like you, you know, growing up in Jersey and growing up in the financial industry, getting my licenses, security licenses and all that, you were playing with men. I remember my first job selling insurance. It was 43 men and me. And they literally would say to me, hi, little lady. And I would just go, howdy. And I'd walk by and under my breath, I'd be like, idiot, you know, because I thought to myself, they're just stupid men, right? And the funniest thing, though, is they all ended up loving me. And when they saw me being successful, they were coming to me. What are you doing? Because after like 3 years, I didn't have to make cold calls anymore. And they'd be like, and they'd all be at night making these cold calls, hiring people to make cold calls. And they'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. And they'd say, well, tell me what you do. And I go, well, when I meet people, like I help them with their budgets. So I don't ask for the business because I know I have to earn the respect. And then eventually I earn the business because I did the right thing for the client. And they'll send me 10 referrals. They'd be like, what? And I'm like, well, I don't know what you're doing, but isn't that, like, to me, isn't that the right way to do it? To be in integrity and help people? I have all this education. education. I'm teaching people. Sales for me, and this is why I think I giggle so much about this, is sales for me, Allison, it was about teaching people what they didn't know about money, in that case about money, so they can make an informed decision. And then when I would sell the insurance or do the investments, they knew what they were buying always. My policies never lapsed, like the life policies, because I made sure they had the money to pay for it in the budget. And then they turned around and send me 10 referrals because they were like, oh my God, you got to meet Connie. And so these men ended up respecting me. Like, we get the biggest kick out of you, kiddo, because I was so young, right? I'm in my 20s. They were all in their 50s and 60s. It's hysterical.
But you said something different than I said. You said, he's an idiot. You know what I said? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And that's what I think most women do. I think most women eventually start to feel bad about themselves, how they look, why are they not more successful. So like for me, like to hear you, like, yeah, you said you're an idiot and you kept going to be exactly who you are. And another thing what you did, which is so smart, is you used your expertise. You said, where can I add value? And that's a really important thing too. It's that women use that as well, because we can't just walk in the room like the guy sometimes, because they have, you know, more power in the room. Often, I hate to say it, but it's just a reality of the patriarchal society we live in. But for you not to buy into it, and then for you to use your expertise, is two of the ways that women have been very successful. If you look at the successful women, it's the one who didn't believe what the outside world was telling them and used the value-added play to become successful. And to me, that's amazing.
Allison, I'm telling you, I really, my mom and dad raised us to, you know what I think? You know why? Number one, honest. We had to be honest because there's no room for crooks out there. When you show up and be in integrity, my dad used to say, when you know you did everything honestly and right, and you put your head on the pillow at night, you'll sleep. Right. That was how he would phrase it. Right. And I always remember that and thinking, I have to look in the mirror and like my reflection. And if I don't, what did I do? What shame on me? Right. So that's how I was taught. Remember that from when I was a little girl. And the other thing I think is my father taught us work hard. You, whoever you work for, no matter what you do. And my dad eventually became a business owner. So there was an influence there as well, Allison. We were taught to push forward. And if it didn't work, pick something else, right? So I think I was taught well, which is fascinating, because when I share that experience with people, they're like, really? And I'm like, didn't you have that? To me?
It is just amazing. And also, but you do have to think about it too. If you were a man, you might not have left corporate America. You might have gotten promoted to that sales job, right? So in a way, you kind of were pushed out. Right? And because of who you are, you transcend it. And I actually think women today, one of the ways that we will shift what's going on economically and politically is by starting our own businesses, by saying, you know, the system's not going to work. So the system kicked you out. You just loved yourself enough to say, you know, I don't really give a crap. I'm going to do something else. Like, so that's, you know, it's funny, your experience. So you did have a similar experience to many women. It's just internally, you were empowered and you held it. And that's the argument in the book. Like, now relate to ourselves differently and let's go out. And now there's more opportunity than there probably was 20, 30 years ago for women. It's an open field. If we can be whole and love ourselves and find our, you know, deal with uncertainty and deal with our emotions and deal with acceptance, women could take, I don't, it's not take over, because no one needs to take over, but to kind of partner with, in the economy and partner in politics and partner in our own lives and do what we need to do to be just as successful as anybody else. That's this moment.
Yeah, I love it. I think empowerment is important, but I believe in empowerment for men too, right? So, you know, like my husband is a much more shyer person than I am, right? I'm much more outgoing. And like, sometimes I'm like, why didn't you say that? And he'd be like, oh, like it didn't matter. And I'd be like, oh, but it did. That was a good perspective. Like, why did you hold back? So I approach, I think, life from this curiosity of, why did you say that? Why did you think that? I am the why girl. girl, right? And he is more, let's sit back and observe, which, let me just share one more thing. I think that's important too, because I can easily be out of balance, Allison, because I go at the, you know, the speed of sound, and I love work because I love what I do and I'm good at it, right? So I could totally go down the rabbit hole of work and never have a personal life. So I feel I married the right man because he tempers me. He pulls me out of the hole, right? He tells me, shut down. We're going to put a movie on. You've been working too much. Like, what are you, crazy? So I think that's the other piece of it. It's who you surround yourself with as well. Men, women, doesn't matter. It's that they bring out the best in you and know when they could say to you, you need to stop, right? And my husband is very good at calling me out. My kids are very good at calling me out, respectfully, never in a disrespectful way. So I think the other piece of this too is, who do we surround ourselves with?
Absolutely. Well, you know, as long as we all have a seat at the table, it doesn't matter. That's right. The point. The point is, this world, you know, like I said, this is nothing against men. It's about literally women finding a place where they could sit as well and say, I am here and I deserve to be heard and I deserve to be promoted and I deserve to be paid. And so it's like, like I said, it's nothing against men. It's just how to empower women so we have our own rightful place as well.
Yeah. And rightfully so, right? I am an advocate for that as well. So it's fascinating. And the other thing, and I hope everybody listening that know me fairly well, I'm a straight shooter, right? I'm pretty direct. But I also think that, isn't it fascinating how our life at home as kids absolutely impact us on the flip side of adulthood? And it's interesting because I'm very tall. I'm 5'11", and I'm a big person. I was never a petite little thing. I was an athlete, right? So I was pretty competitive. But I was very self-conscious of my height, of my hair. And this, you know, in the 70s, everybody had straight hair, and I had this nest. So, you know, we all have that derogatory story that we're really, really good at, right? So I think that nobody has the perfect life, nobody has the perfect scenario, but we have to, and I love this conversation, Allison, it's all about raising your awareness of what you're letting into your brain and what you're allowing yourself to believe and to question. And that's why we're out of time, but I love the start where you said, maybe I can do that. Maybe I could create that situation. Maybe I could start my own business. So I love that curiosity. See, to the maybe is the why, right? Well, maybe I can do that. That's that curious, energy that we're bringing to the table. Thank you so much. The book is amazing. One more time, the name of the book
is A Year Without Men.
What's the subtitle?
That's so funny. We get a 12-point path to empowerment.
Yeah, 12-point guide, I think it was, to empowerment. It comes out July 6, 2021, guys, but there are pre-sales for anyone listening to the show prior to that. And obviously, after that, if you're intrigued by Allison, which I hope you are, buy the book. I just feel like we all deserve to have a life that is worth living, number one, but that we should all have joy, peace, ease, surrender to the universe, whatever you want to call it. But I do believe that we all should show up and be your best self, whatever that means to you. And I do hope that Allison and our conversation, again, approach life with curiosity. What can you implement or maybe not even implement, but stop, pause, and think about, what are you putting in your brain? What are the beliefs that you have? How can you read the book and make those pivots and shifts in your life? Go to Allison's website. It's AllisonCarman.com. If you have a question specifically for Allison, please go to her email. It's Allison@AllisonCarman.com. And Allison is two L's, A-L-L-I-S-O-N. And Allison Carman, Carman is C-A-R-M-E-N.com. Please check her out. Again, if you have any questions for me, go to my website, WhitmanAssos.com. The CSA is there. All of my other free stuff is there. My book, masterclasses, everything is on my website. Check me out. Come and play. I like to play big and I like to have fun. Allison, you are a delight. I think that we might have to do another show. So, yeah, not putting you on the spot. You could think about it, certainly. But thank you for your energy. Thank you for your insight. Thank you for sharing your story, being vulnerable. That's another thing. I think that we're afraid to be vulnerable. And I think when we're vulnerable, it allows people to show up more authentically and say, oh, I would never have said that. I could say that now, right?
Absolutely. I could say that and I could do it. I could be out in the world. I could be, you could be in a relationship and be totally independent within yourself, you know? And I just think that the more we're aware of, like you said, aware of what's going on around us, and the more we realize what we allow in, and the more we nurture ourselves and deal with our relationship with uncertainty and our emotions and acceptance and our reactions, we will go out into the world fully empowered. And when we're fully empowered, we're more successful, we're more creative, and we live with greater ease and greater peace. So, you know, there are so many ways in the world to be okay. And I just hope this book helps women move forward in a better way.
And for us to serve bigger and better, too, because I feel like when we hide ourselves, Allison, we're not living and sharing and creating and helping those that we should be helping on a bigger level that maybe can't help themselves, like what you're doing with the postpartum. And like, they can't help that, right? Depression, people can't help that. Alcoholism, drug, you know, all of these addictions, we can't always help. So if we have a resource or a source to help, why aren't we doing that? And that's where I get angry when people don't, not angry, but I think you have this genius or this brilliance or this whatever ability. How do you not share that with people who are less fortunate than you, right? And that's showing up bigger. So yeah, buy the book, everybody. A Year Without Men. I wish you so much luck with it. I love the topic. I love the name of the book, because I love my men. I love my men. I have two boys, but I just love the empowerment that you're bringing to the table. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was a real pleasure meeting you today.
Back at you. So much fun. And you guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover. Don't care what change you're going through. I really, really hope that my guests and I provide a resource, a strategy, a tip, whatever it is that you can apply. Please apply and try something different. That's where the magic happens. That's where life has changed. But you have to make a choice to do something differently. Please take a step forward. Use some of the tips that Allison and I discussed today, because I do want everyone to be successful and live in their own greatness. Thank you so much, Allison. Thank you all for listening and joining me on Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Again, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and I am truly, truly honored to have you on this journey with me. And I hope that I create that little, or allow you to create the change that you're seeking to create amazing things in the world and amazing things in your life. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. See you next week. We'll be right back.